Hello, everybody. It is Monday. We are back. Jedi Alliance. We're here talking about Star Wars and the concept of the trilogy and what that means for movie going as a whole, as well as all of the news from the Holonet. And we're answering your questions from Mind Probe. So stick with us.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Jedi Alliance.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Jedi Alliance, the celebration of the greatest saga ever told. I am one of your hosts, the Internet's Mark B. Donica, joined as always by somebody that I would exchange. We would be holding hands on Naboo, but my hand would be a skeleton hand. Mr. John Rocha, that means you're Padme, and you're wearing, like, sexy dresses.
I'm happy to be Padme. I got no problem being Padme. And, in fact, I'm wearing... Can you even make this work on camera? Like, I'm wearing a very multicolored shirt here. I'm just in the summer mood here in L.A. It's the last month of summer before things start to turn just a little bit colder. So I thought I'd bust out, finally, the summer clothes. Don't adjust your sets. I am on set for the first time in weeks. I apologize. Things have just been crazy in my life, but I'm happy that
ours
we're back.
Too.
Yes, you getting married, of course.
Yeah, we apologize for the lost episode last week, guys. But we are going to be staying on schedule. Episode 100 is still happening, and we're still getting as many of the former hosts as we can muster. But you can follow him at The Rocha Says. That's his tribute to The Rock.
Yes.
And we're here to talk Star Wars. It's been 2 weeks, and there hasn't been a lot of Star Wars news because Comic-Con passed and Celebration passed. We're going to be getting into some really fun, I'd say deep and interesting conversations about the world of Star Wars and the ideas that it presents to the film world. Yeah. So stick with us. It's not all going to be news heavy. But with that, why don't we go right into news from the Holonet? Because while we were gone, we got a new TV spot from Rogue One. We're going to watch it. Okay. It doesn't have any new footage in it, which has made some fans upset.
Sure.
I don't know why.
What else is
new? And it's already been announced that during the Olympics coverage, we've already had a new trailer for Moana, the new Disney film.
Yeah.
But we're getting a new trailer on the 11th. For Rogue One, that's supposed to have some new stuff in it. So let's take a look real quick. It's just a 30-second spot. All of the stuff that we're super familiar with. Jin kicking ass.
Oh, finally, that noise is back.
Oh, good. The one thing everybody liked about it. I'm just happy we got some gong.
Yes.
Always happy we get the gong.
If you continue to fight, what will you become?
That's it, ladies and gentlemen, Rogue One. So, as I mentioned, people are upset that there isn't any new footage, but do we need it?
No, if we've got a trailer coming out on the 11th, then we don't need any new footage. We're good. It's a TV spot. TV spots are just supposed to like get you super excited for that it's coming. You don't need any more new footage. And why would you want new footage? Like, I think you want to be surprised about what's in there. You're coming off the bump from Celebration, from Comic-Con. People were excited of what they got to see and the 1 minute thing that got leaked on Twitter.
If you saw it or not.
If you got a chance to see it, that was enough to get you super excited. All I think these TV spots are supposed to do is get you, like, psyched for the movie. And so I'm psyched that the sound is back. I'm psyched that they've made it a smaller TV spot. And I'm psyched that the 11th we get another trailer. So we're good. I don't know why people are complaining.
I think we're good. I think the only thing we're going to get after the one on the 11th, even though, we're 4 months out, is just going to be different cuts of different things with maybe like a couple of frames of something new that people are going to pick apart. And speaking of footage that people picked apart, there is a rumor that got confirmed that we're not going to talk about a character's confirmation in the movie, which until the studio confirms it, or like with our next story, people are still going through old interviews from Celebration and finding new information, which is great. And also, people aren't reporting. Come on. Gareth Edwards squashed the idea that Han Solo, played by Alden Ehrenreich, and Hayden Christensen are not going to be in Rogue One. I'm going to reuse that Han Solo picture as often as I can.
That's like,
it's so bad.
It looks like a jib-jab. It needs to be moving around doing some kind of solo song or dance. Look at
his mouth moving terribly. the ever-going trophy to my terrible Photoshop skills.
I love you, I know. It just looks like a jib-jab. Yes.
But
I love it. I love it, though. I'm not putting it down. I think it's awesome.
But it's just, that's a comment that you could say, that you somebody could hear 10 years ago and have no idea what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Jib, jab, what, jib, jab, jab, jib. I don't understand.
What kind of newfangled words are you using?
Get out of here!
Give me back my ball. Yeah.
So Garrett squashed these rumors.
Yeah.
Does it help you being able to focus on the movie while not having to focus on, I'm waiting for Han Solo to show up, or I'm waiting for Hayden Christensen to show up, or this all these other characters to show up?
Yeah.
Does it help you focus on the movie more knowing that they're not there?
Yeah, I think so, Mark. It's a great question, too, because everyone's been so obsessed with Darth Vader showing up, how much Vader we're going to get, when is Vader going to show up, what's going to happen. And so if you start throwing in Anakin, you start throwing in Han Solo, you're going to see the movie obsessed with seeing when these people pop up, right? Mm-hmm. It's inevitable. A majority of people will, because they're huge fans of the property, huge fans of the franchise. So they're going to walk into the theater already like, when is it going to show up? And I think that's going to take away it would have detracted from your enjoyment of the film, because you'd have to go back. Or it'd be smart by Disney, because it means you have to go back two or three times to really get all of it. But I think it's smart this way. You kind of just keep it to the back, let those properties or those parts of the properties find their own voice, find their own rhythm. And, you know, the clamoring for Anakin is growing, for Hayden Christensen to come back. But I will say, from people who went to see it at the Ace Hotel here in downtown LA, mm-hmm. in Los Angeles, I have reports from a few of my friends who went to the edited original trilogy screening that people booed vociferously when Hayden Christensen's ghost showed up. So there's still residue stuff with
it. Sure, and I think it's also something where it's great that a fandom is starting to, not necessarily detach themselves, but be able to think rationally and go, okay, we understand what our issues with the movies were, mm-hmm. and it doesn't have anything to do with Hayden Christensen because he's a good actor and he's proven it previously.
Right.
So we hope that he gets a chance with a, some would call, a much better script to prove himself. I'm trying to be very impartial here.
You are
here.
Very political, yeah.
That he gets a chance to redeem himself, and we give him a chance to be the character that everybody wants him to be, and that the character that Anakin was in Clone Wars.
Yeah.
And is starting to be in, I was going to say, Civil War, in Rebels.
Yeah.
It helps me a lot to know that these characters aren't in it and that any characters aren't in it. It helped with Episode 7. I don't remember exactly, but I heard a rumor that something was happening or something wasn't happening, and then I didn't focus on it.
Yeah.
And even on, like, second viewings, like, for Episode 7, I was so focused on trying to take everything in that I didn't hear some things, right? I didn't see some things. So the second viewing ends up being a lot better because you don't have to worry about all that. You already have your opinion out of the way. Same thing with Batman versus Superman.
Yeah.
I went in and was just like, what was that? And I went back a second time because my family really wanted to see it, and it was just like, you know what? Okay, I see what's going on here a little bit clearer. Still not my favorite movie, but So I'm very happy that this stuff isn't there. Next, this one could be considered a small story, but I still wanted to talk about it.
Okay.
The production names for the upcoming Star Wars films have been revealed. The Han Solo film is being known as the Carbonado Industries UK Limited, and the next Star Wars Stories film is PLT Productions Inc. Yeah. And the thing with production names is there's supposed to be a way for the crew to find everything and the fans to not. Does the revealing of the names invite fans to search for it?
Oh, yeah, I think anything will invite the fans to search for it. So it makes sense. You know, so it's interesting going forward with this type of stuff because with Carbonado, it's obviously a shout out to carbonite.
Oh, sure.
It's also the definition of a black diamond. So this is interesting, which is one of the most hardest diamonds to create. Mm-hmm. So what does this mean? So people will explore all these kinds of things.
Well, it means Space Bear didn't mean anything.
Yeah,
did it?
Right, exactly. but like, you know, but it in PLT means 3D, something in 3D. So people are speculating it might be animation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like all these things. So it gives people just that little bit of kernel of a morsel rather, and they want the whole cake. So they're going to try and find where
the cake
is. Yeah, exactly. And I think there's nothing wrong with that. It's kind of the nature of the beast now with fandom, and because of our ability to access so much information at the click of a button, you know, it's that pursuit can now be I don't know, can be indulged, is what I would say.
And I also think, speaking to the animation thing, I think if you release names like this, that shows that they're not going to be, it's going to be closed sets the whole time. They're going to be in studios. They're not going to be out and about shooting externals very often, so that all of the important stuff is going to be happening behind literal lock and key, behind doors, behind everything. And it's going to be a lot of internal shooting.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the idea of an animated film in any regard, whether it's you just go, well, let's do a Rebels film, or if it's let's do a different style taking place in a Lego movie, like who knows, which a Lego Star Wars movie, just based on everything that we've seen of Lego Star Wars, would be a lot of fun.
I agree.
Speaking of Lego Star Wars, if you've been playing the Lego Star Wars The Force Awakens video game like I haven't because I've been planning a wedding, you've been playing through all of the amazing characters that they've been offering from all parts of the saga, and they announced that available now is a prequel pack for LEGO Star Wars. We're going to take a quick look at all of the characters available, which is interesting. Go ahead and roll it. Which is interesting for some of them, because they're your obvious characters. We've got Darth Maul with dual lightsabers instead of the split.
Okay.
So it's a little bit more of an updated Darth Maul.
Oh.
Battle-torn Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah.
Who's half burned off and has a bum arm. Wow. Padme Amidala. Or Skywalker, however you want to put it. Jar Jar Binks, ladies and gentlemen. They don't even show him attacking, just running. Watto, for some reason.
Right.
He's just going to rough you up. He's going to punch you. Doesn't even... Zam Wessel. From the assassin from episode 2.
Yeah.
Panaka from all of the episodes. And Jango Fett.
Jango!
So yeah, it's a lot of... Some characters that make a lot of sense in an action game, but also characters that don't. there's a lot of characters from the prequel series and the Clone Wars that we haven't seen.
Yeah.
Some may consider them to be missing characters. There are to be missing characters, but the fact that they're going back to the prequels and the modern one, do you think that they're going to go back and update the original LEGO Star Wars games? Because at this point, they're relatively unplayable. If you've played a modern LEGO game and go back to the original Star Wars game, awful. Absolutely awful.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, I would like to see that. I mean, I'm a little sad that we don't have any General Grievous. Is he already in the game?
I don't think so.
Okay, or Dooku? We don't have
them. Dooku, I don't think so either. This is the first prequel pack for LEGO Star Wars.
So my question is, where are those guys at? Where is the Chinese Federation or the Trade Federation with the Chinese accents? I want to know where those people are at, because that was in those prequels. I don't care what you say. That was there.
So you think A Knight of Fun with Star Wars is, of all of the characters, episodes 1 through 7 at this point, you give me Newt Gunray, I call myself an accomplished LEGO player. It's a gold achievement, or like a 100 gamer score achievement, is to play through the entire game as Newt Gunray, who doesn't have any weapons, he just runs from stuff.
That's right, screaming loudly.
Oh my God.
Yes, it would be perfect. The question is, do I think they'll update the past LEGO Star Wars games? I think it'd be tough to go back now and create this content, but certainly possible. I think it would depend on the clamoring of the fans for it, you know, if it increased to see this. But I think the reason they keep bringing these characters out, same thing they do with Battlefront, keep bringing out these characters, making different heroes and villains that you can play with, is because there is a desire for these kinds of things. There is a desire for people to go back and enjoy these games. When they released, I think it was Battlefront, that they released the 4 old games and redid them for PS3.
Bounty Hunter, Racer, or Star Wars Episode 1 Racer, Super Star Wars,
Is Super Star Wars.
Super hard still.
I have that on Nintendo. Super Nintendo. I have this still on Super Nintendo. And yeah, so I mean, there's a clamoring for the fans of that. So yes, I would say sure. They would definitely do that if the demand was high enough. But me, missing characters, those are the missing characters. Dooku and Grievous, I want to see those guys up there, because if you can have Maul, then you got to have Grievous and Dooku, because hey, it's been the summer of Maul, but we need some more stuff.
Dooku is in it.
Oh, it is. Okay.
I am not seeing Grievous though.
All right.
Yeah. Grievous was so cool in the original.
In the
2D.
Yes.
And in the movie, like just the idea of Grievous and how they expanded upon him in the Clone Wars series. Super cool character, and a little surprising if he's not. The fact that Grievous is in it makes me think that. Dooku's in it because I'm pretty sure you flash back to the to Clone Wars.
Okay.
As a like they involve a lot of the other franchise the other movies in this one to sort of pad it out.
Yeah.
But
Is Asajj in this? Is Ventress in
this? I'm pretty sure no.
She's canon.
Yeah, no, yeah. 100%. So but this is a little bit more about moving forward, and I think they're sort of testing the ideas of what to release elsewhere.
Sure. Okay.
John, it's happening.
Yes!
So, Channing Dungey, unfortunately, I do not know how to pronounce her name. She has talked about, or people have gone to her asking about if ABC and Lucasfilm are starting to talk. There are rumors that it has happened. We've been talking about it for months.
Yes.
One of the things that I liked is there's a wonderful article where people talk to Channing about it, and one of her quotes is, "If you feel like Marvel is secretive, Lucas takes it to a whole nother level." Yeah. So if there's any sort of pre-production happening, we may not see anything until 2019, 2020, right, perhaps. But yeah, ABC and Lucasfilms are in talks for a series. Now, whether that's ABC proper or just the ABC family of networks, we don't know.
Yeah.
But do you think, if we're going with just an ABC show,
yeah,
does Lucasfilm have other options than just Thursdays at 8 on ABC before Wipeout? Like, it's weird. The ABC slate, I don't think, speaks to the type of Star Wars show that fans are clamoring for.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. I think it should be on Netflix. I think it should be on a network that it could be grittier, harder. It could be tougher.
Own network.
Yes, on its own network. I've said this many times. Now, I don't want people to get too crazy about this, but I had a few conversations with people at Comic-Con,
mm-hmm,
people in the industry.
Cool.
She's downplaying it.
Oh, really?
Yes. Good. That's the rumor. The rumor is she's downplaying it because this is farther along than she's saying. And this is logically so, because there's so much going on, so much involved in a production like this, and you have so many storylines that, mm-hmm, you want to play around with. You know, you've got to be farther ahead. I mean, the people at Hasbro are already two movies ahead,
yeah,
of what we're talking about. They've already seen episode 8. They've already seen the script for possible episode 9, because they have to merchandise it, so they have to be ahead of the merchandise, creating the merchandise, getting it approved, and what have you. So from what the conversations I had with some people at Comic-Con, at these industry events, at these parties, the rumor was that this is farther along than people are saying. So she's saying the right thing, because she doesn't want to get people too crazy about it, because it'll eclipse Rogue One, it'll eclipse Episode 8.
Of
course. But I think we're going to see this sooner than later.
But it also makes sense. Why would the relationship between Disney and Star Wars, especially from a TV aspect,
yeah,
how could talks be just starting now?
Yeah, exactly.
When this relationship has been going on for years.
Yeah, yeah.
How could that not be, all right, we need TV, we need video games, we need live action TV as well as animated,
right,
and movies, and we need to do all of this. We,
yeah,
need to do everything that we've been doing with all of other properties.
Yeah.
How is it quote unquote just starting now? Which,
exactly.
You heard it here. You didn't hear
it. You didn't hear it.
You didn't hear it.
They're rumors.
This is all rumors. We're talking speculation.
That's right.
It's all speculation and nothing that could get John in trouble.
Not at all. Conversation over drinks. It doesn't mean anything.
They were drunk. Who maybe it wasn't true.
I could be remembering it wrong.
You could be. That was a nice bar that we were at, that hotel. It was a pretty nice place.
The Bayfront Hilton is the jam.
They were pretty dang good.
Yeah.
So, on top of that,
yeah.
Do you watch Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I watch it occasionally, yes.
Okay.
It's not my favorite show, so I'll catch episodes if I'm flipping channels, or if I'm home, or if I'm in the mood to watch something. Like, it's an event episode.
Sure.
I will watch.
One that's, like, right after a movie.
Yes, sure, yes. And so I'll watch them. It's got a good vibe to it, obviously, and it's gotten better since the first half of the first season.
Yeah.
But, you know,
it's... Once Winter Soldier hit.
Yeah.
That's when everybody went, this is what we were waiting for.
Right.
But they wanted us to start a season earlier.
Yeah.
But yeah, right now it's going into a new season. I am not caught up with this most recent season. I've only watched a few episodes in, and then just life happened. But it's on Netflix, so I'm excited to watch it. And then the announcement at Comic-Con that they're getting that Ghost Rider is going to be involved.
Yes.
So we're going to get more of the supernatural magic side of Marvel leading into Doctor Strange is interesting.
Yeah.
But do you think Star Wars has the time, the season and a half, to get into it like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Or like, that's the thing, is you can start from anywhere.
Yeah.
Really. And Star Wars fans will either be, well, they will be, regardless, super judgmental.
Yeah.
But the acceptance part I think is going to be the hardest thing.
I agree with you completely. I think that's what's going to be tough. And if you don't do it with the right vibe, and I don't know if I think you're right. I don't know if ABC is the right vibe necessarily. Mm. And of course, it's all under the window of Disney. You know, that's it would make sense, synergy and all that. But I also think if you're going to do something like this, you got to really knock it out of the park the first time out. You really got to do something inventive and new, and it can't be like coming up at 10 o'clock at Star Wars. You know, it can't be. It's got to be something grittier. People want something grittier with Star mm-hmm. Wars. We've played the game of that's what the prequel trilogy. I mean, that's what the trilogies are for. They're for appeasing the masses. But with something like a TV show, I think you got to go grittier. I think you got to go something a little more not necessarily darker, but certainly meatier in terms of the plot sure. lines and the stuff that's going on. Because you have to turn it into a what George Lucas called it, which is a space soap opera, and they do the soap operas at night. Do that kind of thing. Yeah.
Where would you set it?
Knights of the Old Republic. I've always said this a million times. I'll say it over and over again. Knights of the Old Republic is where it should be set first. It's enough of a distance from the old stuff. Mm. I mean, from the newer stuff that we don't have to, people won't have to keep asking, when's Han Solo showing up? When's blah, blah, blah? And you get to let it stand on its own 2 feet and establish a universe that can be canon and can be referred to now going forward in other movies as the property increases in size and increases in volume of output.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it should be in between 6 and 7, personally.
Oh, okay.
And make it like an NYPD Blue something small that takes place on one planet.
Right.
Or if you have to go to different systems, because that's probably what they want. And now, if you think about it, this is going to have to go up against Star Trek Discovery.
Right.
So we're having a resurgence of space television programming.
Yeah.
Maybe you want to hop from planet to planet. If it's, hey, there's a Imperial insurgency happening, they think they have control of this planet, we have to go take care of it, and that's a half season arc or whatever.
But it's
endless. It truly is. And the fact that we're just staying within this 90-year, 60-year gap is really silly. Let's push those boundaries even further.
I agree.
Yeah. I mean, I guess not the future, because that would spoil a lot. Unless you go super into the future.
Right.
But yes, that is our news from the Holonet for this week. Let's go into our main topic, which is the idea of Star Wars and the trilogy. So the interesting thing that I found out about Star Wars is it's really the, depending on who you ask, it's either the second or third completed trilogy in modern film history.
Okay.
With the first one being the Fistful of Dollars trilogy, the Dollars trilogy.
Yes.
So the idea that this trilogy shattered cultural expectation for what movies are. It's more than just a one movie experience.
Yes.
It's this huge story. It's like a book now. We have a book series on screen.
Yep.
Absolute madness. Do you think that? Well, I don't even know why I asked this question. It popularized the idea of an extended franchise.
Yes.
Do you think that it ruined the idea of a single film?
Yeah, I think we're seeing that with how some of the press or buzz or fans' anger has been at Rogue One. Mm-hmm. Rogue One, in a way, is its own film. Yes, it connects back to the original trilogy, to New Hope and what have you, but it's supposed to be its own thing. And people are already kind of coming down on it a little bit for being so not like Star Wars before, or stuff we've seen before. And so it just kind of, you've built up an expectation within fans, because we're up to what, 6, 7 films of Star Wars in a certain way.
Yeah.
And so this was going to be something that would be completely different. So I think it does kind of, they are pushing a boulder up a hill and trying to get people to accept the style, a new style, new way of making a film. So I don't know if it ruined it, but it certainly makes it harder. And because people are clamoring to get this, like, you got to make it, because the rumors about the reshoots were they wanted to make it more like the mainstream Star Wars stuff, you know.
And there are even fans, like we talked about earlier, when Gareth Edwards said, oh yeah, no, Alden Ehrenreich and Hayden Christensen aren't in the movie, there's probably legions of fans that are saying he's lying so that we'll be surprised.
Yep.
It's like, no, just listen to people. But I even mean for films as a whole.
Oh, yeah. I see.
So, I mean, I definitely agree with you with this and Rogue One, but now it seems like every movie that comes out is like, yeah, we're just going to do the one, never happens.
Right.
It's, we've announced a trilogy. Well, like, the sequels get announced before you even see how the first one does creatively or financially.
Yeah. Well, it almost backed into it, didn't it, Mark? I mean, it wasn't like Lucas had planned out a whole trilogy. Mm. I think if he did, he'd have written things a little more tighter after the, you know, going into the first one. And, the first, New Hope's a good film, but it does play around a little bit with its content and with its material as you go forward into Strikes Back and into Jedi. Mm. I think if he'd planned this out as an original trilogy, it'd be a whole another ballgame. Prequel, that was planned as a trilogy. What we see now with Force Awakens, that's planned as a trilogy because Luke Skywalker doesn't say anything at the end, and that's because they want you to come back for 8.
Yeah.
And so it's planned in a certain way. So I would say, yeah, it does kind of, it puts pressure on movies to create trilogies. Mm-hmm. Even Star Trek, within its original 6 movies, claims 2, 3, and 4 as a trilogy.
Yeah. And so that's the trilogy that's out of the original 6.
Exactly, out of 6. It's not even broken up like 1 through 3 mm-hmm. and 4 through 6. So it's interesting how that plays out. You see it all the time, obviously, with Sergio Leone and the Clint Eastwood stuff. Certainly happens. Godfather did it.
Godfather.
And they shouldn't have done it because people hate 3, you know? But there's a pressure. There's a pressure to tie it up. The end of 2 is fine. That's it. We don't know what happens, blah, blah, blah. He's obviously very depressed. He's killed his brother. He's alienated, blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah. But yeah, why do you have to have 3? And it's the demand.
Because people go, 1 is amazing.
Yeah.
2 is even equally as amazing.
Yeah.
Why'd you make Godfather 3?
Exactly.
Because people wanted it.
Yeah. Well, Lethal Weapon, same thing,
Lethal
right?
Weapon.
1 and 2 are fantastic films on their own. 3 is good. Rene Russo is a great addition, but it doesn't live up to 1 and 2, and mm-hmm. 4 really doesn't. So it's just like you get that pressure going forward. You know, this isn't like a horror franchise where you can go to 10 like Jason or whatever. There's a pressure when they're creating because studios also want to make money. So they want franchises that know will go trilogies.
And it's really funny that you mentioned Halloween because the 3rd Halloween film doesn't have Michael Myers in it.
Right.
That's the
Season of the Witch.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely bizarre.
Yeah.
So yeah, the only sort of single movies that you see anymore are not even, well, not popcorn flicks, like these indie films with unique stories or biopics or something. Because even I was gonna say comedies, but then I remembered Meet the Parents turned into a trilogy.
It did.
Like so many movies in general, just like, well, guess we're making it a trilogy.
Yeah.
Instead of letting the original movie stand on their own.
And you better believe that new Ghostbusters is going to be a trilogy. I'll tell you that right now. I'll tell you that right now it's going to be a trilogy.
And even though there was Cars became a trilogy.
Cars became a trilogy.
Toy Story unfortunately became a trilogy. I mean, quote-unquote unfortunately.
Yeah.
Like, the studio didn't want it, and then the 3rd one happened. And as movies kept going, everybody loved it.
Yeah.
And now it's like, cool, it's over. And we're getting a Toy Story 4. So Disney is definitely not a stranger to going back to the well.
Yeah.
But something that we talked about 2 weeks ago that is still being perpetuated, even though we made logical sense, rational sense of it, is that Alden Ehrenreich signed on for 3 Star Wars movies, which doesn't mean 3 full Star Wars movies.
Right, right.
It just means that he's going to appear in 3 Star Wars movies, including the Han Solo film. Right. But people are like, well, means we're getting a Han Solo trilogy. Like, that's just in the cultural zeitgeist these days is 3 movies, gotta be a trilogy.
Yeah. Well, people have been clamoring, and I'm one of those people that's been clamoring for a Zoolander 3 in 20 years.
Probably. And that's another thing, is the franchises that get continued X amount of years later for either just to complete the set.
Sure.
Or who knows?
You got a new Blade Runner coming, and I guarantee you if that knocks it out of the park, they're going to do a 3rd one. So the thing with, what were you just saying, Mark, before that? I was going to jump on something, and I got caught off by the...
Zoo Monster. The Han Solo trilogy.
People are calling for a Kenobi trilogy. People want an Obi-Wan trilogy.
Yeah, not just a movie, but a trilogy.
A trilogy because of all that time he spent on Tatooine. They want to explore that. And all that's been explored in the comic books, there's certainly a lot of canon material to explore, a lot of interesting adventures to follow Kenobi on, and people want to see Ewan McGregor in this. So, yeah, why not?
And there's so you can extend so much into other avenues. Mm-hmm. Like, even just with Episode 7, we got books, we got comics, we got video games, we got this, we got that. So it's not... They're not forced to make 3 movies because that's all they can do now.
Right.
So I think it would behoove them if it's, well, they're making the Rogue One movie.
Right.
There was going to be a Rogue One set for Disney Infinity, and that would have been the video game component. Right. And they're doing a prequel novel, and they're doing this, and they're doing that. And you're getting as much Rogue One as you can get as I'll never stop saying it, but it's just a terrible word. Transmedia property, so that you can be listening to your Rogue One soundtrack while you're reading your Rogue One comic book, drinking out of your Rogue One cup.
Yeah.
Let me just take a drink here. Oh, that's good and a little bit evil. But if the people perpetuating the Alden Ehrenreich trilogy, I think, does a disservice Agreed. For those people who are then going to be upset that a trilogy that was never talked about isn't going to happen.
Yeah. I think it's dangerous, the studio. Yeah, because you set yourself up for the expectation and then the letdown, right? And I think studios are now we see that very clearly. And I think a lot of people who get into loving films at earlier ages are now very, very aware of how studios see that as cash cows, basically cash cows. Yes, they want to create art, they want to create lasting films, legacies, things of that nature, but they want to make money, number one. And so that's why they're going to play around with the idea of trilogies with anything. And they don't mind that you run away with it as an audience, as a fan, and create this internet firestorm about it, because then they can gauge for themselves what the interest really is out there for creating one, and it can adjust the scripts accordingly or script accordingly to make it seem open-ended, like there might be a trilogy, you know,
playing with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but do you think that Star Wars, at least from a saga standpoint, needs to continue the tradition and the expectation and the reputation of trilogies?
I would agree with them doing it like they're doing it now. The main movies are the trilogies, fine. But those Star Wars stories need to be one-offs. They need to be. They can be tied in, sure, but they need to be one-offs. It's important to show that the brand can expand and do its own thing, and the movies themselves can be directed by different people and be self-enclosed, you know what I'm saying? And so they you don't have to have them bleed out other than connective tissues into the other trilogy movies, but they don't need to bleed out into another movie that is the continuation of that story.
Sure.
You know, and I think that's what's exciting. Like, this, people wanted Solo to be appearing in Rogue One, but now if he does his own movie, that stuff, he creates his own universe. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You've got the Rogue One universe, you have the Han Solo universe, you have the main trilogy universe, and all that can coexist at the same time. And that's exciting for us as fans, because you also get to keep tabs on all that universe and create new characters and create new, have new merchandise and be excited about new alien races and new planets and all that kind of jazz.
No, I agree. Yeah. And it makes me think that the studio is looking forward to a post trilogy world or an in between trilogy world, because after episode 9, are they going to wait another 30 years until we get episode 10, 11, 12?
No way.
Or what that 10, 11, 12 going to be about? Right. Is it like, are we going to get the same time skip? Yeah. Probably not. But in between that time, we need to, the fandom as a whole needs to get ready for a world without those sequels like we've been having, but a steady stream of Star Wars movies once a year, like we're getting now, but they're all independent stories.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be pretty good. Makes me sad. But so now the Star Wars keeps changing the rules for, quote unquote, the rules for what a series of films can be.
Yeah.
Because it was the Star Wars trilogy, and then everybody started to have trilogies. And then once 1, 2, and 3 came out, it became the Star Wars saga.
Yeah.
And now we have the Twilight saga or the Harry Potter saga, and not to discredit people who are fans of those sagas, but Star Wars keeps changing the idea of what franchises can be until Marvel, who recently changed it into the connected universe system, where these are all movies in the same franchise and they can start talking to each other.
Yeah.
Do you think that system can bode well for Star Wars?
Well, I think Rogue One is going to be the test balloon for that, because Rogue One bleeds in A New Hope. Mm-hmm. How much of it bleeds in A New Hope is going to be for us to see, and see how comfortable we are as an audience having that happen. And if there's going to be any Rebel stuff in Rogue One, like, no one's talking about the fact there could be Rebel stuff in Rogue One. Mm-hmm. It's driving me nuts. Okay, there has to be.
Just a little aside. Back when I was in Austin for RTX, we were on a panel for something completely unrelated, and one of the guests that we had on, who was an actor for the company, just like, does anybody watch Rebels? Anybody has Star Wars? It just randomly brought it up. It's like, just because we're talking about whatever. And we, on the panel, we were supposed to be talking about something completely different, started talking about Rebel stuff in Rogue One.
Yeah.
So the fans that know better, I guess, the fans that are fans of Rebels are looking for that.
Yeah.
And the fans that aren't fans of Rebels don't know what they'll be looking for or at.
Right.
So I'm pretty sure that that's a distinct possibility, that we are going to get something Rebels related to keep that interconnectivity alive.
Yes, agreed.
Because why not?
Yeah.
And we've talked about it countlessly on the show too, about what sort of stuff that we want from Rogue One or from Rebels in Rogue One. So go back and watch our illustrious catalog of shows on the Popcorn Talk Network. Com.
Plugged it.
Yeah. Also, make sure to leave us reviews on iTunes. Leave us a 5-star review. Write a comment. We'll start reading them on the show as we get them in. So please help us out. It helps us get seen on iTunes. We're not the only Star Wars podcast in town, so it helps us out. Subscribe to Popcorn Talk. We got a whole bunch of awesome programming here. If you're a fan of video games, if you're a fan of Marvel, DC, Disney, action movies, there's a lot of stuff that both John and I have been on. Sci-Fi Weekly, so that's probably the easiest connecting thread. We just started a show a couple months ago called Sci-Fi Weekly. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun. I did it last week where we talked about some of the biggest headlines from Comic-Con.
Yeah.
This week they're doing it on a Buckaroo Banzai.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So if you're a sci-fi fan, check out Sci-Fi Weekly. Zach Wilson, one of the hosts there, was a host on, joined us a couple weeks ago. So please check that out. Subscribe to us here on the Popcorn Talk. We have a lot of fun talking about your favorite thing, which is movies. I always have to do that setup and stop. I love the plug. So do you just to sort of wrap it up? Do you think that the prequels, regardless of your feeling on them, do you think George Lucas wrote himself into a hole by making the original trilogy 4, 5, and 6 instead of just an unnumbered trilogy?
Yeah, it's a good question, Mark. I wonder if he did. I wonder if he knew what he was doing and had to kind of fill in 1, 2, and 3. You know, obviously the Legends canon took over in the books with Timothy Zahn and other writers and fleshed out everything that happened after Jedi, you know, and for years after Jedi, in fact. But and explored Han Solo's kids, you know, those kinds of things. So, and Leia's kids. But like, once it was 4, 5, and 6, it was an interesting place to start at 4. Does it mean that he had 1, 2, and 3 written, or was that his way of like being like kind of like, oh, this is episode 4, like the old school serials, which is what it's supposedly based on? So once he did that, though, I think he had to go back and create 1, 2, and 3 to get people excited and see the connectivity of the trilogies to each other. So yeah, what would I say? I'm not the biggest fan of the prequel trilogies. They're certainly watchable, and there are great moments within them, or fun moments within them. But yeah, he kind of was hamstrung by starting out at 4, 5, 6, and I'm sure he didn't anticipate. I'm sure he didn't anticipate having to go back and write 1, 2, and 3. And you can tell in some of the moments that he didn't.
Yeah, I think it's going around now. There's several cuts of the prequels that put it as one film, where they essentially cut out the entirety of episode 2.
Yeah.
With very little stuff in between, just as some flashbacks and like 20 minutes of the end of Phantom Menace, just to sort of get an establishment of Anakin. And these are independent editing projects that tell the same story a little bit more constructively. I think was it licensing? Was it creative vision? We don't entirely know from George, but they made a lot of money.
Yeah.
And as a result, we have endless things to talk about when it comes to episode 1 through 3. But I definitely think if he isolated it into, maybe not necessarily, because we're getting Rogue One now.
Yeah.
But if we had a movie that told the fall of Anakin Skywalker without necessarily showing us him as a kid.
Yeah.
You know, like if we got a movie about the fall of Anakin Skywalker, I think he could have spent more time focusing in on certain things instead of like stretching it out and going, okay, well, we have to fill 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So yeah, I we have what we have.
Yes.
And I enjoy that cut, just saying. But I think George Lucas sort of created a new type of monster by trademarking the trilogy with Star Wars.
Yeah.
So why don't we go on from there to our segment, Mind Probe. That's where you go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Jedi Alliance, and leave us a question, a comment, something lore-based, something fun, and we answer it on the show. So this is where you can get involved with us directly. And this week's Mind Probe questions, let's get started with Mr. Scott Porter. He asks, would you like to see R5-D4 in Rogue One? It would explain why he's in such bad shape in episode 4. Best regards from England, and best regards from the United States. Thank you, Scott. So do you want to see R5-D4?
I think it would be interesting because so much has happened with R5-D4 and so many conflicting testimonials mm-hmm. have been found in either the Legends novels or in what happened in the movies. Yeah. And you see that R2-D2 seems to sabotage R5-D4 because R2-D2 has to deliver this message to Kenobi from Leia. But other Legends novels have R5-D4 becoming a member of the Alliance, mm-hmm. purposely letting R2-D2 sabotage him so that R2-D2 can be the one that Owen picks and what have you to be on the farm so that they can get closer to Leia with Luke. And so it's all of that that's a possibility to play with. I would be excited, just like the chess sets showing up when they got on the Millennium Falcon in The Force Awakens, I would be quite happy to see R5-D4 pop back in. And we need those little things that get us excited but aren't like a Solo, you know? Yeah. It's little things like that that go, oh, that's cool.
And with the joining the Alliance and getting a little bit more of the sabotage and maybe having a conversation between them
yes.
at the base
yes.
or something.
Yeah.
Something where you just see an interaction between the two droids in the background and be like, oh, it's the one from 4. Just
right.
that small stuff like you were mentioning. Yep. He's exactly what we need. All right, moving on from there, from Steve Harrison. Do you think we'll ever get more alien species as main characters in films? Personally, I'm hoping for Twi'leks.
Well, we've seen Twi'leks before many times.
But
right?
as lead characters right. in films.
It's a good question. I think we will absolutely see that. I think we had to establish, I think Disney rightfully felt they had to establish the human characters first mm-hmm. and then can expand to include, because of the cautionary tale of making Jar Jar such a main part of the first, the prequel trilogy, in the first film at least, in Phantom Menace. I think they wanted to establish the human characters first, and then they'll start to establish other planets and other creatures from planets, because that's all through the novels. That's all through any of the stuff that you read that's canon, let alone the Legends stuff. You know, it's all there that you see so many different types. I mean, Thrawn is not a human,
yeah.
right? Thrawn is a whole nother race. So if you're going to play with Thrawn here in Rebels, you're obviously opening up the idea of having other species become main characters in these films. So I would not be surprised at all.
Let's just get a growing up tale of the Syndulas.
Why not?
That's my pick for a Twi'lek movie. Let's get Zabrak in there. I think if we had if Darth Maul got a solo movie of his time in Clone Wars
yeah.
or whatever. But I mean, he seems to be his story seems to be living well in the animated world. I don't know yeah. why they would bring it live action, but you get Ray Park back.
Mm-hmm.
Could be a lot of fun. Yeah, I don't see why not. Maybe a March of the Penguins style Ewok film,
sure.
or Wampa movie, so that we keep it in
yeah.
the ice. I think they're. I totally agree. Is all we need is the establishment. Oh, human characters, but that's why we're asking these questions. That's why Steve
yeah.
is asking these questions. As more people want the non-human characters to get
yeah.
some face time. Why not?
Yeah.
Totally think so.
We're around humans. The fascinating is seeing our personalities, our characteristics in other aliens.
Mm.
That's other alien races, rather. That's fun to explore. And I don't want to invoke Star Trek more than once, but like in Star Trek, you see it all the time, that they have aliens, representatives of different races come in and be main antagonists or main protagonists, depending on the situation. And Vulcans are obviously not, you know, the main Vulcan is half human, half Vulcan, obviously Spock, but his dad is full Vulcan.
Yeah.
And his dad, Mark Leonard, played by Mark Leonard, has left a legacy in Star Trek. So that's those things, you know.
The Spock episodes in Next Generation,
yeah,
let alone,
they're great.
Some of the best in television.
Absolutely.
Not just Star Trek, but in television yeah. in general. Also, the Ferengi, which are in the news recently for reasons.
Yes.
Stephen Mullins, do you guys think Rogue One will have any scenes at Alderaan?
Mm.
I know Kathleen has said that we get no Han in Rogue One, but do you think we'll get Leia? Which speaks to what we were talking about earlier in the show, is we're focusing so much on the stuff that we're familiar with.
Yeah.
Let's wait and be surprised.
Well,
there was a rumor. There is a rumor, but the rebellion has a lot to do with Alderaan.
Yeah.
So and the fact that they go to Alderaan to blow it up first.
Yeah.
Something has to have been happening on Alderaan.
Yes.
So I think without a shadow of a doubt, we will see Alderaan.
Absolutely. I agree with you completely. I think yeah. there's no way we don't at least see some scene occur on Alderaan. It mm-hmm. just makes the most sense, you know, and who knows what we're seeing, could have was some of the stuff that's been in the trailers or the TV spots We don't know. Yeah. Could be Alderaan. Could be something else. Could be Tatooine. Who knows?
I mean, the...
Could be Bespin! Sorry.
You had to say it.
Sorry,
once.
I apologize.
And we spiked the audio. But
sorry, Jonathan.
Even the... if those of you who played Force Unleashed...
Yeah.
The final scene of the game takes place on Alderaan.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's a very important part in canon. So, why not?
Yeah.
All right. If you want to ask us a question, please go to our Facebook page. It's Mind Probe. You'll see the picture. It's got a little Mind Probe on it. Leave us a question. We will answer it on the show. Give us a like. You will receive all of our updates, including being a part of our next segment, Duel of the Fates. So, last week's question. Thank you to everybody who answered.
Yeah.
San Diego Comic-Con was all about the exclusives, toys, trailers, posters, etc. I can speak. Collectibles for diehards that never make it to shelves. What is your dream slash custom toy, and how much would you pay for it? John, you weren't here when we asked this question.
Yes.
What is your dream slash custom toy?
A life-size AT-AT that I can actually use to walk around and drive around and go to places in.
Okay, so how much do you think that's worth versus how much you would pay for it?
$100,000 worth. I would pay $40,000 for it. I would
imagine. For a life-size AT-AT?
A life-size AT-AT, like a car.
Okay.
That I
car
can,
size AT-AT.
Yeah, car size AT-AT.
Because life-size AT-AT is stories high.
Yeah. No, oh, sorry. No. Like, you, life-size for me to climb into and ride and
so
go
like,
places.
Hummer size.
Yes, Hummer size. Yes, absolutely. Okay. Hummer size AT-AT would be awesome.
All right.
I love those things, man.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, did you see somebody's making a speeder bike motorcycle?
What?
Street legal speeder bike motorcycle?
Holy crap.
Yeah, we'll talk about it next week, I suppose.
Wow.
So,
don't keep that away from trees.
Please. Let's some of you answered, and we will read some of those answers right now, and I really liked them. Kim Evans Guard says a Hot Toys style Kyle Katarn and Yan Ors double pack of superposable figures modeled after Jason Court and Angela Harry. I would pay anything for that.
I like that.
Well, guess what? I have a couple. You just have to give me $1 million, and then I'll send it to you. I mean, just trust me on this.
You did say anything.
She said anything. Why don't you read the next one?
Okay. Albert Justice Albanese says, a replica of the Darth Vader helmet we see on the bridge of Kylo Ren's ship. As far as how much I would pay $500. That is, if I had $500 to spare.
It's pretty pricey.
Right. Well, we saw that the collectibles were coming out of the burnt helmet.
Mm-hmm.
Of
which
Vader.
I believe is what
yeah.
he's talking about.
Yeah.
That was very limited, though.
Right.
So if those sold well and fast, they'll probably bring them back. But keep an eye out. I would say keep an eye out.
It's available.
Yeah. And it's probably a lot more than $500 at
yes.
this point. Matt Gilland, I apologize.
Sure.
As I currently correct Star Wars pop figures, I feel my collection feels empty without Old Republic characters like Revan and HK Unit and Malak. As far as price, they sell the con exclusive pops for $15, but I've seen some amazing Revan costumes that I have considered paying 60 plus for.
Wow.
I mean, really for pop figures of any particular franchise that you like, people seem to pay up to $100.
Yeah.
Which is silly for a little cheap plastic toy.
How dare you?
No. I mean, it's
how dare you, sir?
I included myself in that,
yes, okay.
But it's still silly. It's like, this is a little bobblehead thing. Yeah, I paid $100 for that, and I'm damn happy that I did. So for a pop figure.
Yeah.
We are. Did you get IG-88 yet?
No, I haven't gotten IG-88 yet.
Brother.
Yeah?
Get on that.
Funko Pop. Okay.
Because it was exclusive in the Star Wars box.
Oh,
so
crap-o.
That's why they're harder to find, but I found it for $20.
Nice.
Get yourself some pop figure.
This sounds like on the to-do list for today after I get out of here.
Yeah, dude. Last one. Why don't you go ahead and do that one, too?
Yeah, Carl D'Souza says, I would like a replica of the Jedi Temple, which opens up so you can see inside the rooms and corridors and famous Jedis in their rooms and walking the corridors. I would also like a replica of the Republic Senate Chamber with all the senators sitting in their capsules. I would be willing to pay $1,000 for that. That's awesome.
That's a huge model.
No doubt.
For the, like, to get the size, like, if it's like Oof. A, I don't, that's a huge model.
That's a whole living room full model. Size model. If you're going to get it correct.
Yeah, because there's how many systems in there?
I mean, it's insane.
Even seeing it empty in episode 3 looked even more large than when people were floating up in the middle of it.
Are you going to make the model float up, too? Are you going to make the detachable, each one detachable can float up and speak in front of the mic?
Or do you have like a little fan in the center that just, it just floats it right in the middle one? Or it's like, it's like, look, they're doing business.
This doesn't ruin the magic at all.
No, none whatsoever. Loved reading about them. We had some other great responses, too. So this week, Speaking of responses, yeah. We're getting a little divisive here. Should Star Wars keep operating in trilogies or start to play the shared universe game that Marvel is doing? Different pieces of the same whole. Mm. So, I mean, Patton Oswalt kind of talked about it in Parks and Rec.
Yes.
Getting the Marvel universes and Star Wars universes together, because yes. Why not? But, yeah, we're getting this connect. We talked about it a bit in the main topic, yeah. So if you're joining us now, go back and listen to that. But I think it would behoove them to do something like that.
Yeah.
Leave us wanting.
Absolutely. I agree with you completely. I think it would be fun to see how they could make that work and what they could explore by doing that. And how exciting that would be for us as fans to see them doing it. Yeah.
Instead of going from episode 7 to episode 8, we started episode 7, 2-3 more movies in between, you get your Captain America or your Captain Tanaka, Alderaan, the Alderaan soldier, or whatever. You get the other ones in between that flesh it out, and then the next one is like, oh, well, all of that other stuff happened too.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So instead of just a straight up trilogy, let's break it up. Explore some other realms in between, and then we have our tentpole Avengers movies.
Yeah, I mean, the danger is obviously these what they do with the Marvel Universe, those are already built-in properties, built-in, had their own comic books, have had their own runs, their own histories. You don't necessarily get that with a lot of Star Wars figures past the main people, right? So you get a lot of the underground people who are into and have read all the extended universe stuff or legend stuff. So they bring their idea to a character, but a lot of the mainstream people have not. And so it would be interesting to see if they could consistently do that to the point where it would end up in a shared universe situation.
And even bring the book characters in.
Yeah.
You know, like we got Snap Wexley in episode 7, but we have soon to be 3 books full of his origin story.
Right.
I think that could be a movie.
Absolutely.
At least a movie where we get the entire Aftermath crew dealing with Ray Sloan.
Yep.
Because why not?
Right.
Let us know. We are going to be posting this tomorrow. And actually tomorrow, because I'm a man of my word, we are going to be posting it. So please provide us your answers. We'll post about it on Twitter when that goes live. Or just like our page on Facebook so you get it. Once it comes out.
Hoo-ah.
Hoo-ah, indeed. This brings us to another end to a wonderful episode of Jedi Alliance. So, here's what's going on. Let me bring you a little into the back. Shh, come here. Some John doesn't know what's going on. Some backstage stuff. So, we were off last week.
I don't know the mic. Can the camera focus like that? I didn't know. It can't bring a close-up. You're just joking
around. We can do it digitally.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, from the booth.
I like it.
So, last week, we took an unexpected week off.
Yes, I apologize.
That's okay. That's fine. Which threw a little bit of a wrench into our schedule. But we are still recording episode 100 with former hosts of Jedi Alliance. It's going to be a great time. It's going to be a retrospective. If you have any questions that you want to ask to Ken, to Mod, to Joseph, who are having illustrious careers, just ask them. Follow them on Twitter. You know that. Please submit it. We're going to do sort of a catch-all, catching them up with the Star Wars universe with their OG audience at Jedi Alliance. So please join us. That's going to be 2 weeks from today, or not. We're still working on that. they are going to be here. We are going to be making episode 100 special. We're going to be making it for the fans. We're going to be making it special for you. And in between, we're gonna throw another episode in there somewhere. We're gonna work on it. We'll make it work. If you've read Aftermath 2, Life Debt, Aftermath 2, Electric Boogaloo, stay with us. We're gonna do a review show of that as well.
Yeah.
Episode 100 is coming up, and it's gonna be a whole lot of fun. We may have. I was going to say Romulan ale. We're going to have some blue milk, some Bantha milk in here. That's no blue moon. Amazing things. We're gonna have a great celebration because we wouldn't be here without you, the fans. And 100 episodes is a pretty good landmark for a podcast.
Yeah.
It's pretty great. So, John, until we meet the fans next week. Where can they find you and what are you up to? Where can they keep an eye on you?
Yeah, there's so much going on here. You guys can always follow me at The Rocha Says, THEROCHASAYS. I do communicate with all my fans. I always try to, or followers rather, I always try to communicate back. I find time almost every day to answer back or like or, you know, or get into a battle, whatever works. I like doing that. Please follow me there for Twitter and Instagram. Please watch Collider at 2 p.m. every Wednesdays. If you haven't subscribed yet to the Top 10 show, we're doing the Top 10 show there. We just did Top 10 Superhero Villains in honor of Suicide Squad, which has been so much fun. It's got a lot of great responses there. And then we've got Top 10 Live Action Disney Movies coming up this week in honor of Pete's Dragon coming out this Friday. So we're talking about
The fact that there's been 10.
More than 10. Since the 60s. Yeah, yeah. So it's been a lot. And I've tried to really not make it too sports heavy, which was really tough for me. But I had to do that. And of course, my new podcast, which is actually getting a lot of buzz from people, and which I'm really happy. How many people are every week? Our audience is increasing, which I really appreciate you guys listening. Those who've already listened, if you haven't, it's called The Cinephiles, CINE-FILES. Every week, my friend Steve Morris, who's a film teacher here in Los Angeles, and me, we break down one classic film before the year 2000, talk about its legacy, its production history, what was going on at the time, and its legacy in film going forward. We just did Reservoir Dogs, Planet of the Apes, and High Noon, and we've got a bunch of other stuff coming out.
Why are you limiting yourself to 2000?
Before the year 2000. Yeah. Yeah. Because we want to kind of give those a lot more service, and then we'll move into 2000 as we cover everything, because we want to keep this podcast going for a long time and see how far we can go with
it. I mean, yeah. There's only been like one major film release a year, so you should start to slow down personally. But it is a wonderful podcast, yeah. And I'm happy that it's getting the recognition it deserves.
Thank
you. It's a whole lot of fun.
And we might be going out to NPR with it. So we'll see. There's rumors about that, yeah.
That's amazing.
That would be great.
Wow. We're
preparing our package.
That's pretty great. Yeah. Wow. Hopefully not to spoil a piece on your top 10 list upcoming this week. Tonight on Video Game Movie Anatomy, we will be covering the 1982 Disney film Tron.
Nice!
Which is I love video games. Absolutely love it. And getting a chance to take time out of my day and watch it again when it's so ingrained in our culture, and people who have not seen it may not even know, oh, that's from Tron. This is from Tron. So we're going to be covering that tonight. We're going to be having a lot of fun because it is one of my favorite franchises in general for games, TV, movies, theme park attractions, like everything. So join us tonight live 6 p.m. on the Popcorn Talk Network. Follow The Popcorn Talk to get that live link. Follow me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica. We're having a heck of a time here at Jedi Alliance. John, it's always a dang pleasure. And it's been like 3 weeks at this point.
Yeah, I apologize. Yeah, it's been hairy.
It's been pretty hairy. Yeah. But it looks good. You combed it? it's really dumb. Really dumb.
I'll take it.
All right, fine. But yes, also a whole bunch of stuff over at AfterBuzz TV as well. If you're a wrestling fan, we did a bracket breakdown of the Cruiserweight Classic round one last week. Check it out. It was a whole lot of fun. And I do a lot of the wrestling stuff over there. If you're a Rooster Teeth fan, just follow me on Twitter, Mark B. Donica. Do a whole lot of stuff and more stuff coming up soon. Now that I don't have to plan a wedding, I got all the time in the world.
Amazing how relaxing life is now. Do you guys do a promo thing? What is this promo thing you do?
What do you mean the promo thing?
Do you have a promo workshop or promo? Do you do something? Like, I thought I saw something on Twitter, like you do a promo, or you guys were doing a wrestling promo competition or something?
A friend of ours, I'll talk to you about it more offline, but The Rock started a YouTube channel, and it's a fan promo challenge. It's a tournament where people would submit promos as their characters, and different people from the wrestling world came in as judges. And a friend of ours who did work with us, got into the tournament and is advancing.
All right,
it was an amazing character, and I'll show you.
I'm
going
to do it next year.
I
would kill that thing,
dude. Roka, all about it.
Come watch my Schmodown promos. All right,
dude. Yeah, you and Mance coming up
this Friday on the Schmodown. Yeah, this Friday, Scott Mance revenge match. Roka Mance 2 on the Schmodown channel, on the Schmodown on Collider. Watch it this Friday, 2 p.m. I'm scared out of my mind.
I'm gonna give you a hint.
Just
for a fun comedy moment, just write Bespin on your hand. And just be like, don't worry, I got this. And then just show the camera your hand, just for a tough, funny moment.
Somebody turned it around and it said hashtag best win. And I was like, ooh, I like that.
That's really good.
So I will say that if I do win. That's very good. Who knows if I will, though.
So keep an eye on John's Twitter. Keep an eye on my Twitter. Thank you for watching and or listening to Jedi Alliance. You can visit PopcornTalkNetwork.com to find a nice list of all of the past episodes of Jedi Alliance and links to both YouTube and iTunes. Please also follow us on Twitter at @Jedi_Alliance and Facebook at Jedi Alliance for all of the us-related news. This has been Jedi Alliance on the Popcorn Talk Network. We talk movies. Thank you for listening, because many Bothans died to bring us this information.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.